مبلغ في
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, whenever you're blessed with an opportunity to come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, ayah the masjid, the first and foremost thing that you must realize is that you're very lucky. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you, has given you this opportunity to come to His house. There are many, many people out there that have not got this opportunity that you have. So you are lucky and you should do shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you this opportunity. But in coming to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, try to enter the masjid according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always enter with the right foot and then he would recite the dua for entering the masjid. The pious predecessors have said that when you enter the masjid, you also make intention for nafli itikaf. Hence, the reason we ask you to say nawaitu sunnat al-itikaf. You can make this intention in any language, whatever it is, English, Potwari, Gujarati, Urdu, whatever you want. But by making this intention for the duration that you spend in the masjid, it will be written in your book of deeds that you spent this time in nafli itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable for you and you get the reward as well. So small amount of effort, but alhamdulillah, huge amount of reward. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, please make a habit of sending salutations, durud pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Who knows that one extra durud pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ideal role model for us. He is the person that we should look up to. He is the person that we should follow in all his characteristics. And today we're going to talk a little bit about being kind, our gentle character. And we'll give some examples from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the Seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also from some examples of our pious predecessors so that we can see the benefits of this. It is stated that Sayyidina Zahid bin Sana radiallahu ta'ala was a scholar of the Torah before he accepted Islam. He once purchased dates from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were one or two days remaining before the dates had to be given. And when he approached the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a gathering, and he addressed him harshly. He addressed him harshly and grabbed hold of his clothes and he glared at him fiercely. And he said to him, "O person, you owe me this money, you owe me these grades." And upon seeing this, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he became enraged and he said to him, "O enemy of Allah, you behave with insolence to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was he not here, I would have cut your head off." The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "O Umar, what are you doing? You should have helped us both by encouraging me to give him the dates and requesting him to be gentle in asking for what he's owed." The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then ordered, "O Umar, give him the dates that he is owed and give him some extra as well." When Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala gave more than he was owed, Zahid bin Sana asked him, he said, "Umar, why are you giving me more than I am owed?" He answered, "It's because I looked at you fiercely and made you fearful. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered me to give extra as a means of making you happy." Zahid bin Sana then responded, "Umar, do you recognize me? I'm Zahid bin Sana." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala then replied, "Are you the same Zahid bin Sana who was the scholar of the Torah?" And he responded, "Yes, I am the same one." Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq then asked him, "Why did you act in such a manner? Why did you act in this manner in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And he replied, listen to this views of Madinah Channel. He replied, "O Umar, I've seen all the signs of the final prophet, which I have read in the Torah. However, I had to test him to see if he possessed the two remaining signs. One is his gentleness will always remain prevalent. And secondly, the more a person disrespects and is ignorant towards him, the more his politeness and gentleness increases. Thus, I saw these signs and I testify that he is truly a prophet. O Umar, I am very wealthy. I make you a witness that I give half to the nation of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a charity." Then he went to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he proclaimed the shahadat. He accepted the deen. But Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, You know, when people approach us and they say things to us, and sometimes we respond with harshness, we get very, very angry. And that anger pushes people away automatically. They're not going to listen to us. And if you speak to someone, even your children, if you're harsh with the children, then they'll switch off, even though you're telling them that it's right. You're telling them that they should be doing. When you are harsh with them, then automatically they don't want to listen. When you're in a working environment, if someone is harsh to you, you don't want to listen. In any environment, you don't want to listen. So the Prophet of Allah was teaching us, he was effectively abused by this person. This person came and abused him effectively. Abused him to such an extent that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq said that if it was not for the Prophet of Allah being here, I would chop your head off. He felt insulted that the way he was speaking to him. But the Prophet of Allah remained calm. And it's this kindness, this gentleness that caused this person to realize that these are the signs of a true prophet, and he accepted Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, so speak to him gently in the hope that he may reflect or have some fear. Allahu Akbar. It is written in Tafsir al-Kazan regarding this verse that Allah is commanding Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be gentle with Pharaoh. To be gentle with Pharaoh, and we've all heard the story. And according to some commentators of the Quran, the command to be gentle to Pharaoh was given because he served Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam during his childhood. And some commentators of the Quran have stated, gentle here actually means to promise him, Pharaoh, that if he accepts faith, he will remain young for the rest of his life. He will never grow old. His kingdom will remain. The joys of eating, drinking, and marriage will continue, and he will enter paradise. When Sayyidina Musa al-Islam presented this promise, Pharaoh was inclined towards it. However, he said that I never make a decision unless I speak to one of my advisors, Haman. And when he saw Haman, Haman said to him that you are a god, and now you're going to become a worshipper. Don't listen to this person. And he rejected it. But even in that time, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that go to these people that are oppressing you, these people that are pushing you down, and be gentle to them. Be nice to them, even though they're oppressing you, even though they are pushing you down, and still at that time, be gentle to them. In the plains of Karbala, Imam Hussein, when he went out into the battlefield, even in that moment when he saw these people, even at that moment, he said to them, look, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I am the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody has my name. I am Hussein. And he tried to reconcile with them. He tried, even though he realized that they were bloodthirsty, that they wanted to kill him. But even at that moment, he said to them, look, and why did he do this? Why did? Because he wanted to save them. He knew he was going to die. He's going to die today. He's going to die tomorrow. And if he died on that day, he's going to die as a martyr. But even then, he tried to stop them. He tried to stop them because he wanted to reconcile them, wanted to rectify them. So this is the way of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be kind to people. And we see that Allah's mercy in this verse, what he says to us, that be kind to people. There are many, many virtues of being gentle. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 159, so what a great mercy it is on from Allah, the All-Beloved, you become soft-hearted towards them. This verse explains the great manners of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus it was said, All-Beloved, how great is the mercy of Allah that he has given you a soft heart, and he's made you compassionate, generous, and merciful. The extent of his mercy and compassion was such that he did not express his anger on the day of Uhud. There are many, many instances in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he didn't show his anger. Where on the day of Uhud, when the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were being attacked, on the day of Badr when they were being attacked, on the day when Makkah Sharif was conquered, on that day he could have killed everybody. He could have took revenge for everything that had happened. But he showed mercy. He showed compassion. Now he had strength. You know, when someone's weak, they can't take revenge. So if someone remains calm when they're not in a position to get revenge, then that's not really remaining calm because you can't do anything about it. But when you've got the upper hand, when you've got power, when you've got authority, when you've got everything, and at that moment you remain calm, that is true calm. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Makkah Sharif was conquered, and at that time, he could have ordered all of the people of Makkah to be killed. All of those people that abused him, all of them people that insulted him, all of those people, even those people that killed his uncle, that killed his companions, he could have had them all slaughtered. But no, he showed compassion at that time. Even when he had an opportunity to take revenge, he showed compassion. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, verily Allah is gentle and he loves gentleness. Due to gentleness, he grants that which he does not give due to harshness or any other reason. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, gentleness is not to be found in anything, but that it adds to its beauty. And it's not withdrawn from anything, but it makes it defective. If someone is gentle, it brings that beauty amongst them. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer enacts ease and is gentle, the way a Ryan camel complies with any direction, and it is pulled and it sits upon a rock when it is made to do so. You know, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of the channel, When people, we're living in a country here in the West where we're a minority. And people come to Islam. We're hearing every day that people have accepted Islam. Both brothers and sisters are accepting Islam. Now, if you ask them, why do you accept Islam? What caused you to accept Islam? Very few people will say, oh, you know what? I studied the Quran. I went verse by verse. I checked the Quran with science. I made sure that, you know, it all added up. I compared the Quran with this. No, they won't. In the majority of the cases, they won't. The reason why they accepted Islam is because of you. Because of your character. Because of the way you spoke to them. You know, if you're trying to invite someone to Islam and say, you know what, if you don't accept this, you're going to the hellfire, they're not going to listen to you. And all of those people that come to Islam, they come to Islam because of the person that's in front of them. And if we look at the history of Islam, all the people that came to Islam, it's because of the person in front of them. That gentle character. You know, they say, I'll give you an incident that happened in my life. I remember once I was working in an office, and I have a hobby that I sometimes buy and sell cars. Yeah, and there was an atheist that was working there, and I was trying to explain to him the existence of the Creator, the existence of God. And I was explaining to him that, you know, all these miracles, the fact that there's so many chemicals in the body, the stars, I mean, and all these things. And he turned around to me and he said, brother, would you buy a car without seeing it? Would you buy a car without seeing it? And his meaning was that if you won't even buy a car without seeing it, you're expecting me to believe in God without seeing it. And you know what? When he said that, I thought, you know what? He kind of like stumped me for a second. And I thought, what do I say to this? But then I thought about it. And I thought, you know what? I would buy a car without seeing it. Two conditions. Condition number one, it's cheap. Yeah? I say, you know, condition number one, it's cheap. So if someone phones you up and said, you know, there's this car, you know, it's 3-year-old and it's only £2,000, you think that's cheap. But then there's a second condition. And the second condition is that that person that's telling you about this car on the phone, he's an honest person. His character is good. And so what you need is you need these two conditions. So as Muslims, what we're offering? We're offering a good deal, aren't we? The deal's good, isn't it? We're offering paradise. We're offering everlasting paradise. The problem is the salesman. The problem is the salesman. We have got haq on our hands. The problem is the salesman, and we are the salesman. Our character is not right. The way we present Islam to people is not right. And that's why people don't listen to us. Because of our character. Because we're harsh. Because we're rough. Because we commit all sorts of other crimes as well. You all know that now there are certain crimes, certain things that happen in society, and automatically people think, you know, there's a Muslim that's doing that. Automatically they will think this. And I don't have to mention to you, I can see you're all nodding. You know this. In our society, there are certain things that are happening. And when I say this crime, you say, yep, Muslims are involved in this. As a majority, Muslims are involved in it. Muslims are, and you know all these things. I don't have to repeat them to you. So then you wonder, why is it that people... So when people look at us, each and every one of you is an ambassador of Islam. Each and every one of you represents Islam. Each and every one of you says on your forehead, whether you like it or not, that I am a Muslim. People recognize you as Islam. You know, I worked in offices where people go... You know, there used to be a tradition that Shukra is starting to finish now. That on a Friday at lunch break, they all used to go to the pub. They used to go for some alcohol. And they used to say to me, are you coming? I said, no, I'm not going. Why are you not going? I'm a Muslim, we don't drink alcohol. And then, you know what they used to do? They used to give me the, oh, you know that brother, that person over there, he is a Muslim, he drinks. That person over there, he drinks. So why don't you drink? So each and every one of us is a representative of Islam. So when you do something good, people think Islam is good. When you do something bad, they think Islam is bad. You, each and every one of you, is an ambassador. Because you're living in a country where Islam is a minority, your responsibility is greater. When you're living in a country where 100% of the country is Muslims, then it's a different situation. But everybody looks at you. Your neighbors look at you. Your work colleagues look at you. The people you associate, your students, your teachers, they look at you and think, you know, this is what Muslims are. They haven't got time to read the whole Quran. They haven't got time to read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if they did read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would accept Islam. There are many people that have accepted Islam through reading the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they don't do this. So you have to be that seerah. You have to be that representative. You are the ambassador of Islam. So it's your character that shines through. If you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're swindling, you're doing credit card fraud, you're doing insurance fraud, you're doing all these other crimes, who's going to listen to you? Even though you're speaking the truth, they're going to think this person's a dodgy person. Why should I listen to him? And then the way we speak to people, if we're harsh with people, who's going to listen to us? Our children won't listen to us when we're harsh, never mind anybody else. Our spouses, our husbands and wives won't listen to us when they're harsh. They might be forced to listen to you, They might have to listen to you, but they don't want to listen to you. So our character needs to shine through. So we need to use good words. There was a pious man of Khorasan. He had a dream in which he was commanded to invite the Tatar nation to Islam. Tagadar was in power at the time. The pious person embarked on a journey to visit Tagadar. And when Tagadar saw this Muslim preacher with a beard on his face, he mocked him. He made a joke to him. He said to him, "Are the hairs on your beard better or the tail of my dog? Is the hair on your beard better or the tail of my dog?" And if someone was to say that to us, then we'd all of a sudden get in a different frame of mind. We would get angry with them. But this person, he said to him, as he was a practicing, he refrained from saying anything. And he said to him, "I too am a dog of my Lord. I too am a dog of my Lord. If I am successful in pleasing him, then my beard is better than the tail of your dog. But if I'm not successful in pleading my Rabb, then the tail of your dog is better than me. The tail of your dog is better than me if I don't please my Rabb." And these words had a whole impact on this person, because he didn't get angry. He showed humbleness. And as a result of that, he all of a sudden changed his heart, and he sat down with him and started to go attend his classes. And he accepted Islam, and then all of his nation accepted Islam. And this is in the history book, that all of the nation at that time accepted Islam as a result of that event. Now, if he'd have turned around and said, "You know what? Who are you to say this? You know, you don't believe in God. Who are you to say? I'm better than your dog. I'm better than you." No, humbleness. Here in this UK, I can give you two events that took place. One actually took place in Scotland. I'll tell you that in a minute. Another event took place in the UK, where a person, on a Friday night, he was out drinking alcohol, a non-Muslim, and he gets drunk, right? And he's walking home, and he's stumbling from pillar to post. And as he's stumbling home, all of a sudden, he stumbles on something, and there's a door, and the door opens. So he goes inside. He goes inside, he's drunk, he's wandering inside, he doesn't even know where he is. But these people, when they've got alcohol inside the system, it starts affecting the stomach. So he started to feel sick. And all of a sudden, he was sick. He didn't know where he was, but now that he's sick, all of a sudden he feels comfortable. So where he was, he lied down and fell asleep. He didn't know where he was. For him, he could have been on the road, he could have been anywhere. He fell asleep. Some hours later, he wakes up. When he wakes up, there's a pillow under his head. And he thinks, "I don't have a pillow here." He moves his feet and thinks, "You know what, someone's taken my shoes off." There's a blanket on top of him. So he quickly sits up and he looks around and he realizes, "I'm in some sort of place of worship." He'd actually stumbled into a masjid. Now, before I carry on, imagine if you came into this masjid and you found a person that had been drunk and come into your masjid with his shoes on and was sick all over the masjid. What would you do with him? Don't answer. Don't answer. You can work it out what you would do with him. A few minutes later, the imam comes with a tray. Breakfast is served. Now, this non-Muslim is embarrassed. He's ashamed. He said, "Oh, you know, is this your place of worship?" "Yes, it is. It's a masjid." I'm really, really sorry. I'm sorry. And he wiped his face and he said, "You know, where is it? I'll clean it up." "No, we've cleaned it up. It's okay, no problem." It is stated that a few hours later, this is in England, a few hours later, that person accepted Islam. Now, if the imam or the people of the masjid had done to him what a lot of people here were thinking that we should do to him, he would not have accepted Islam. So this is, what is this? This is the character, this is the gentle character that we need to show. And the other thing that we need to be very careful is that as Muslims, even as Muslims, we need to be very careful of this, that when we hate someone, we should never hate someone for the sin that they are committing. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. Hate the fact that he's drinking alcohol, don't hate him, he's a Muslim. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. And there was an incident that took place here I'll mention it. It's in your capital, Edinburgh. Happened in Edinburgh many, many years ago, where there was a known alcoholic. The whole community knew that he was an alcoholic. Right? But there was a mubalik there who constantly wanted to rectify him, constantly wanted to try and help him. And so every Friday he would see him and he said, come for Jummah. "No, I'm not coming." And he'll make all sorts of, you all make it, those people that don't want to come to the masjid, "Oh, my cleans are not clothed, this isn't," we make a million one excuses, "I'm busy, I've got this to do." So he constantly made excuses because he didn't want to come. But that person never gave up on him. And one Friday, what happened was, he said to him, "You know, Hey, you want to come to Jummah today? It's something he did every week. And he probably expected the same answer. But something happened to him that day. And he said, you know what? Every week you ask me to come for Jummah. And every week you're so nice and gentle to me. You never get angry with me. You never say why you're making all the excuses. You know what? Today I'll come with you. But I need to go home first. I need to go home. I need to have a shower. I need to get changed. And then I'll come. Now the Mubalik thought, you know what? It's took me this long to get him. He's going to go home and he's just not going to come. So I'll go home with him. He said, you know what? I'll come home with you. So he went home with him. He went, he had a shower, he got changed, and he came to the masjid. And when he came to the masjid, he put one foot inside the masjid. And he had a heart attack and died. Allah blessed him with death inside the masjid. But that Mubalik, if he'd given up on him, he's just a big sinner, an alcoholic. Why should we even bother with him? Yeah. Forget it. Wasted that person. He's definitely going to the hellfire. Forget him. Then what would have happened? You know, we believe our iman is that our death is written, but that person was the person that did it, that helped him. So as individuals, we can never give up on people. Even though they are committing sins, we should never give up on them. Hate the sin, don't hate the sinner. And try to rectify, and be kind and gentle with them. Just because they're committing that sin, then still your job. You as Muslims, like I said, you are ambassadors. It is your job to bring people. Your job to bring people to the Islam. An incident happened with Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami. That one day he was going to the Ishtama, and on the Ishtama, as he was going there, there was a cinema. There was a cinema and people were queuing up to go into the cinema. And one person there said to Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, "Oh Maulana, there's a good film on. Do you want to come and watch the film with us?" Yeah. Now, instead of getting angry, Amir al-Sunnah went up to him and said, "You know, you've invited me, now I want to invite you. I want to invite you to the weekly ishtama. I'm not going to come to the cinema. I'm going to go to the weekly ishtama, but I'm inviting you to come to the ishtama. And if you can come, come." And then he presented him a gift. He gave him a bottle of perfume and he went away. Many years later, somebody came up to Amir al-Sunnah and said to Mazur, "Many, many years ago, you stopped outside a cinema and you were gentle and kind to someone that were abusing, he was abusing you, and yet you were kind and gentle, and you give him a gift. I'm that person. I realized I was wrong, and I entered the environment of Dawat Islami, and now look at me what I am. And that's because of how you treated me." If they'd have said, "Who are you to speak to me like that? Do you know who I am? You know, you go and watch your film. You go and watch your film." No, kind and gentle character. And that is something that we need to be very, very careful. How we treat people, how we are with people. This is very, very important about this. So there are certain things that as Muslims we need to learn how to do things. That as Muslims we need to be very careful. And we need to change ourselves. So we need to arise from negligence, get that knowledge of the deen. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not engage in lengthy conversation besides the remembrance of Allah." You know, don't over-exaggerate things with people. As Muslims we need to declare a war against sins, remove this environment of sins inside us. We need to make a habit of forgiving each other. Because what happens is someone is harsh with us, we need to forgive them. And what will happen is when you forgive people, they'll think differently. I knew of an instance once where there was a person that was in a gathering and he was constantly abusing this person. There was a meeting taking place and he was constantly abusing this person. And this person remained quiet. And then the time for Salah came and he hugged each other. And when he was hugging him, he said to him, "You know, brother, you know, I know you're abusing me, but you're not like this. You know, please forgive me if I've done anything wrong." And then words shocked him. He thought to himself, "You know what? For 20 minutes I've been abusing this person. Yeah, he's never said a word to me. And now he's saying to me, please forgive me, even though I'm the one that's getting angry with him." And he changed. So our character is, it affects people. The way you talk to people affects people. The way you deal with people affects people. You know that, for example, if you're a taxi driver or you're a delivery driver, you know that the way you talk to people in your taxi, the way you deliver the food to people at your house, they'll give you tips. If you're harsh with them, do you think you're going to get a tip? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, is it? So why are we nice to them people when we're not nice to people in general public? We need to change our character. So our being nice and gentle to people should not just be for the tips. Being nice and gentle to people should not be for extra money. Our nice and gentle should be the way we are. So that when people see us, you're a taxi driver, you're running a takeaway, you've got a business, whatever it is, when people see you, they walk away, you say, "You know what? That's a nice person. That's a nice person. He's a nice, kind, gentle person. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when people pass away, if people speak good about that person, then jannat is wajib for that person. But if a person passes away and people speak bad about that person, then hell is wajib for that person. The question we need to ask, what do people think about me? What do my neighbors think about me? What do my colleagues think about me? What about the place where I work think about me? What about my fellow students think about me? What about my teachers? What do they think about me? What do my neighbors think about me? What do my relatives think about me? What do my brothers and sisters think about me? And if they think, you know what, glad to get rid of him, yeah, then ask yourself, you know what's going to happen then. So we need to make, you know, each and every one of you is not just an ambassador of Islam, but we need to live our lives in such a way that inshallah we can attain the pleasure of Allah, attain paradise. That's the ultimate goal of a Muslim. But that can also buy our character. And there are many, many ways of getting a softer heart. You know, getting a softer heart so that you become soft. And they say that the pious predecessors have said that one of the ways of having a soft heart is to eat less. Okay? And unfortunately, we eat loads nowadays. You know? They say that you should eat like a king at breakfast, you should eat like a prince at lunch, and you should eat like a poor man in the evening. We eat like a king, subah, dupair, sham, we eat like a king all day long. Yeah? We eat that much food and then we wonder why we're unhealthy, we wonder why we've got this attitude. And this is because maybe we're eating too much. The pious predecessors, they've told us that, you know, eat less. Another thing that we need to do, if we want to change ourselves, if we really want to change ourselves, then we have to change our company. The people that you're associating with. If you're associating with people that are, you know, swearing all the time, you will start swearing. If you associate with people that are committing sins, you will start committing sins. If you associate with people that are constantly going to the masjid, you'll start coming to the masjid. An example I've given it many times, I don't know if I've given it here. But you play a sport, you play any activity, the time for namaz comes, you are the only one that reads your namaz. The time for namaz comes, and you say, you know, brothers, I'm just going to go read my namaz and I'll come back. They're going, what are you doing, man? You know, you're messing up our game. You know, can't you read your namaz later on? You've been my friend for 20 years and now you're doing this? Come on, read it later on. Or can you not miss one namaz for us? We've known you for 20 years and you miss one namaz. Then you miss two, then you miss three, then you become like them. But if you don't read your namaz, for example, and all of your people that you associate with read the namaz, the time for namaz comes, you're playing a sport, you put whatever you're doing, and they say, come on, we're just going to go and read our namaz. Are you coming with us? And what happens is the people have this 101 excuses book. They'll open up the book and say, you know what, my clothes are not right. You know, I need to make some phone calls. I'll be back in a minute. I'll need to do this. And make all sorts of excuses and not go to the masjid with them. But then if one namaz, two namaz, three namaz, is four namaz, eventually you're going to think to yourself, you know what? I'm stood outside here in the rain, I might as well go in as well. You know, I've got nothing to do for the next 5 minutes, I might as well go in the masjid and read my namaz as well. And eventually you'll start reading one namaz, two, three, and you become like them. So your company is very, very important. And you need to ask yourself, who are my friends? Who are my colleagues? What company do I keep? These are the questions you need to ask. And if you close your eyes, and when you think about your friends, you think, oh, you know what? A good time, a good laugh, we've got these cars, we're going here, we're chilling. They're not your real friends. If when you close your eyes and them friends are those people that invite you to the masjid, that invite you to the ishtama, that help you to teach you the deen of Islam, they're your true friends. They're not asking for money off you. The mubaliks of Dawah Islamiyah are not saying, you know, come here, we'll teach you namaz and we want £20 for it. They're not saying, come to the ishtama, we want, you know, and we'll give you £50 to come here. They're not that. We're just doing it for the pleasure of Allah. And this is where we need to change. And with regards to these sort of gatherings, these ishtamas, if we come here, to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to come here because the mubaliq keeps on calling me, and if I don't go, he's going to get annoyed with me. Yeah? Not to go because my brother's forcing me to go and I don't really want to go. Come here with the right intention. And in our life, we need to do everything with the right intention. You know, when you go to namazi janazah, when you go to the namazi, why do you go? Oh, you know what? If I don't go, then the family will be upset. Yeah, they know me and I need to show my face there. So what we do is we go to the namazi, we go to the front and make sure our face is seen, but also upset, and we go then. Because we want them to see us. We want them to see us. That is our intention for going there. That should not be our intention. Our intention should be to go there, to get the sawab of attending the gathering, to do dua for the deceased. And also to get the ibrat, that this is a person that's passed away, this could happen to me. And in our life, all our daily routines, we need to make the right intentions. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I have said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad.
Ascending success, say.